Oh, this is awesome. What time is it there?
4:30.
Cool, it's 7:30 here. Oh, so fun. Yes. Nicorea, Tree Care LA, baby. Joining us on the
There.
Arv Life. Woo! Mick, awesome, man. Thanks so much. I know it's tough sometimes, you're running around and trying to take care of business, man.
No
Little
problem.
bit of little bit of history, Nick. Tell every
Okay.
tell everybody where you're from, where you're up, where you went to school, how you got into the business. You don't have to be, you don't have to be, don't get crazy with it, but
Yeah. Oh, you're recording. This is going live already, or like going, we're
no,
starting.
no, no,
Oh,
it's
okay.
no, it's I typically what I do is I just use a recorder. It's like a small recorder app.
Yeah.
And then I do the call, and then when I get off, I just go on my blog, and I have a plugin in my blog. So
Oh.
I just up. I don't even edit. I don't even
Oh,
edit.
you're just gonna
It,
take the whole
it,
thing and,
yeah. It's
put it in. Okay.
just because it's. I don't know. I feel like it's a little bit better that way, and it's a little less time consuming. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I gotcha. All right, cool. Okay, so started doing tree work in 2001. I
Where?
was with a company at the time. It was called Hendrickson's, the Care of Trees. And then while I worked there, they started calling it the Care of Trees. And it eventually, a few years ago, got bought out by Davie or Bartlett, one of those two, I'm not sure.
Was
That
that
was
was it? Was that in Wisconsin?
in Chicago
In
area.
Chicago.
Yeah, and they had a bunch of offices around there, and I worked at the Wheeling office, and started out. I knew how to climb. I had taught myself recreationally, basically through the internet, and so I came into the job knowing how to climb, but not knowing anything about doing tree work. So I started out as a brush dragger, and eventually, the day came where they needed to put somebody in a tree. And they were willing to let me give it a shot, and that was the beginning of it. And honestly, I really stunk at it at first, for two reasons. One, I wasn't ready to do production work, just, I wasn't good at it. And two, I wasn't ready to be a good employee. Didn't show up to work all the time,
Right. Pretty
just.
much a cycle that everyone, well, not everyone, but a lot of people go through, you know?
Yeah, exactly. And I was, 20 at the time or whatever. And then from that point, I started, about a year went by, and I sort of was like, I can't do this anymore. So I went and did a different job, doing some outdoor adventure stuff, which I did through college. And I thought that was cool for a while, but then you don't make any money. So then I went back to trees.
Right.
And I kept flip-flopping back and forth until I moved to LA. And I started working for a nonprofit organization called Tree People.
Oh,
And
when did you move to LA?
that would have been 2003-ish.
Oh, wow. So you've been there for a long time.
Yeah,
What?
so we're going on the
11,
14th year now.
14 years.
Yeah, crazy.
Wow.
So somewhere a couple years after I moved to LA, I started working at Tree People. And that was a cool job where I was being an arborist and I got my certification, but I didn't have to do production work. We were teaching people how, we were like going to schools and doing programs with kids. Like, hey, here's how to put mulch on a tree. And we would go into
Right.
neighborhoods and show people how to prune small, small trees. And I thought that was super cool. But that didn't last very long. I worked there for a couple years, and then I went back to Outdoor Adventure one last time.
Wow.
And then, yeah, exactly. And didn't like that. And about 5 years ago, that's when I started Tree Care LA. 5.5 years ago, started Tree Care LA. And yeah, been
So
doing that.
right, so that's which brings me to, I mean, Nick, you have a pretty big online presence. A lot of the people do with the bigger companies now. I feel like the industry is it's really big. I understand that, but with all the social media and everything, it's really crazy how much people can expose themselves and their companies and everything like that. And you know, you are out there in LA, and you run a pretty interesting setup. It seems really low impact, not a huge conglomerate with different offices in different areas. Talk a little bit about your philosophy and what you guys are after.
Yeah, absolutely. So one of the things that got me to start my own company is when I was younger, when I was working at the Care of Trees in Chicago, I didn't really know why we were doing any of the things that we did. So I just showed up, did what they told me to do, and went home. And somewhere along the line, and this happens to every good arborist, you start wondering why the foreman is telling you to do certain things, and you start developing your own opinions. Like, hey, I don't think we should do this to that tree. But you don't, as an employee, really have the ability to just stop. You know, the job's been sold, the contract's been signed, it's a done deal. Whether or not it's a tree you want to cut down doesn't matter at that point. And so when I moved to LA, I worked for a few tree services out here and absolutely hated it. You know, just what happens out here to trees is it's an abomination. And I know it's like that in many parts of the country. And I just didn't want to be the guy going to bed at night wondering if I made the world worse when I got up that day.
Right.
So I decided to start my own company and focus on only doing pruning when it was necessary and trying to do it in a way that's not harmful. So it's very common for us to go to a job, I meet with someone, I talk with them for a while, and walk away from it not selling anything, knowing I did the right thing. I probably only sell jobs to half the people I meet because I live in Los Angeles, we're in a drought, and most of the trees, we should just leave them alone. So the biggest low impact thing that we do is not prune trees that don't need it. And if there was a way to help customers, potential clients, understand the value of that, I would be a millionaire by now. Because, you know, people call us and we don't do free estimates. So
right.
That's a turnoff to a lot of people. But a lot of times they don't even get that we might. It might be better for them to not touch the tree at all.
Right.
So I'm going to charge them $150 to come out, shake their hand, give them a thumbs up on their tree, and then walk away. And you know, maybe I'll see you in 2 years.
Right.
And the next guy's going to come in and give them a bid for $1,500 to prune their tree. And so all they see is the waste of $150. But what I see is that I saved them $1,500. So
right. Right.
So that's the biggest thing that we do. And then the other thing is just how we actually carry out the work that we do. A good example is our chipper truck. It's an all aluminum body truck. And
yeah,
it's not a
I love that truck, man. That cab over is, I love that truck. Every time I see it, I get fired up, man.
Yeah, good. And we're about to get it vehicle wrapped, so it's going to look even better than it did before.
Tie-dye?
Yeah, maybe, probably not. Tree Care LA Blue, that color right there. So there's the aluminum chipper truck. Focus on proper pruning with hand saws and pole pruners rather than, you know, most of the companies out here do everything with a chainsaw. Every cut that they make is with a chainsaw. And we use chainsaws for pruning. Man, maybe a couple cuts per week on average week.
Right.
And then most of the time, those cuts are made with, if it's a chainsaw, it's with a battery-powered chainsaw.
Right.
And that is kind of starting to really pick up steam across the country right now.
I think
that's really great.
Oh, yeah. What's a big tree, Nick? Like, what's a big tree out there?
Oh, okay. So there's two answers to that question. I mean, we have big eucalyptus trees that are, you know, 120 feet tall with a canopy spread of, 100 feet or
right.
whatever, with trunk diameters 48 inches or more.
Right.
But the truth is they're few and far between. So if you came and worked with us for a couple months, you would walk away realizing that a big tree for us is 60 feet tall.
Right, right, right.
Which is not big at all.
Right.
And you
guys are climbing. You guys are climbing only. You have a lift? You rent a lift?
No. We've rented lifts a couple times to do hedges, but frankly, I hate that. And we bid those really high because we don't really want to be the guys doing hedges.
Right.
Yeah.
You're doing a lot of sales. It seems like you're doing a lot of client education and stuff like that. What about as far as climbers, employees? What kind of crew are you working with?
Right now we have a 4-man crew. We should be at 5. We're going to be hiring someone any minute now. So we got 2 people in the office, myself, then a 4-man crew, which will be 5 real soon. And 2 of those 4 men are also certified arborists.
Wow. Nice.
Yeah, exactly.
That's really nice.
Yeah, exactly. And if you pick up the phone right now and call our office, the person who picks up the phone is also a certified arborist.
Right.
So we have 4 on staff.
What up, ISA?
Yeah, exactly. How about that? And we like to get feathers in our cap here at Tree Care LA.
Yeah, so, man, that's what it's all about. Totally.
Yeah. So,
Nick, what about the splicing? You know, you had this big, like, cult following, I feel like, in the splicing world, you know? Were you doing that, like, professionally, or... Aside from the few times that we have hung out, I know your internet presence is like awesome. YouTube, gear reviews, but where did the splicing come in? Because I know Tree Stuff has you out to do the splicing workshop and everything. What's that? You know, what's go into that a little bit?
Sure. It started in college and, some friends of mine stole a spool of rope and they knew that I was a tree climber and it was crappy Home Depot, you know, the yellow 3-strand stuff. And they're like, here, we got this for you as a graduation gift. And I was like, great. What the hell am I going to do with 300 feet of 1/4-inch polypropylene 3-strand? And so I cut like a 6-foot piece of it and I was carrying it with me to class and kind of looking at it like, man, I bet if I unweaved the end, I could weave it back and make a little loop. And I sort of like figured it out on my own. And then I realized it looks like crap. So I went to the library. I don't know if you guys remember libraries, the place where they have all these books. But I found a sailing book that talked about how to do splicing and I was like, damn, man, they show all these different techniques. And then when I did it, I looked at it, and I was like, this is legit. Like, this looks really cool. And I didn't know a lot about tree climbing at that point. I was just really getting into it. But I could tell that there were applications where this would come in handy in tree climbing. And when I started working at the Care of Trees, the foreman there was a gentleman named Norm Hall, who's kind of an icon in the industry. I see you smiling, so I can tell you know who that man is. And Norm was, I didn't realize at the time, he was the best man you could be working under as a beginner. And had I realized at the time what he knew, I would have been a much better employee because I could have stood to gain a lot from him. But I pestered him a lot about showing me how to splice because I knew that he knew.
Right.
But we didn't have time. You know, we're a production company and trying to make money. But one day we got rained out and he kind of, if you know Norm, he's an older guy and he's kind of not a very talkative fellow. And he just said, hey, come on. And he kind of pulled me into the conference room and he had some rope there, some single braid rope. And he showed me how to do a standard straight berry. And then he showed me how to do a locking bromo. And that just blew my mind seeing the locking bromo, how it all locks itself together. And then the other thing he did was he gave me a book. It was an old book. I think it was called The Red Book, made by Samson. And it had the directions for all of their ropes at the time, how to splice them. And he said, if you want to know how to do it, ask the manufacturer. And I didn't realize that that was an option. So I literally started calling New England Ropes and Buccaneer and Yale Cordage and asking them how to do stuff. And that was the beginning of it right there.
Right.
And then what I learned at that moment, like, it was probably like a 6 month period where I went into this tunnel of, I'm going to learn how to splice everything I can. And every waking moment that I had, I lived apart from my girlfriend at the time, so we didn't get to spend the evenings together.
Right.
So every waking moment that I had, I was doing splicing or making notes about splicing or whatever. And as I started trying to talk to people about it, this was pre-Facebook and the forum websites were just sort of getting started.
Right.
I realized that the people that knew how to do it, the information was locked up in their heads. And it was hard to get to those people just to talk to them and have that conversation. And B, a lot of them had devoted their lives to learning how to do it, and they didn't want to just give it out to everyone.
Right, right.
And part of it, I think, for some people, it was monetary. You know, they were making money doing splicing, and they didn't want to give you, you know, that lesson to do it for free.
Right.
But then the other part, it was more like a club or an honor to know how to do it.
Sure.
And I'm not just going to give you. It's kind of like being a Jedi. I'm not just going to make you a Jedi. You have to learn how to
totally.
Become that.
Yeah, I can. And, yeah, I can see that. I can see it. You know, just as sort of like a little avenue of artistry from the from the trade. And it's always fascinating. I see the workshops and everything, and you know, it's definitely on my bucket list, but I just can't find myself to get around to it. But like you said, it's definitely one of those things that when you get into it, it's I imagine it's so addictive when you learn how to do it, and then you start to do it well, and you can make your own tools, so to speak, as far as, you know, terminations, lanyards, lanyard snaps, and spliced eyes and the end of ropes and stuff like that. So unreal,
yeah,
man. It's just really cool. I know you guys are busy. That scene out there is so LA, dude. I mean, what are you guys doing? Are you working for movie stars, or what's the client?
A very
colorful clientele, I would imagine. I mean, it's
that's gotta be
a fun aspect of it.
It is very distinct. It's a part of being in Los Angeles, and
right.
Our service map covers a lot of just general, you know, middle class or maybe upper middle class, but then we also go into Beverly Hills and the Hollywood Hills and, you know, Bel Air and places where
right.
millionaires and billionaires live and famous people. And you know, it's weird sometimes, but at the end of the day, we're there to cut the trees. So, you know, if it is a celebrity, it's a handshake and you know, a couple quick words. And we talked to our crew about, we've learned that celebrities don't want to be celebrities at home.
Right.
They just want to be people. So,
right.
We try to keep it on the minimal. Don't,
keep
you know, oh, I'm your biggest fan. I saw you.
Right.
And blah, blah, blah. You know, we just like, hey, love your work. Nice to meet you.
Thanks.
The trees look awesome. You know,
right.
I just leave it about the trees and
totally.
Leave it at that. So,
yeah, I think there's a level of comfort in that. You know, when you're on someone's, I mean, we say it all the time is, you know, what kind of people do you want on your property? I mean, the kids are home, maybe grandma's home. You want people that you can trust and that provide a quality service. And, you know, man, I see that in your brand, dude. I love the graphics and what you guys are after. It's really cool, man. It's really inspirational. What can you give some wisdom to maybe some people out there that are just getting out of school or just getting ready to start school and they're ambitious about the trade and about the industry? What can you tell them? What can you tell them as they pursue their future in the industry, learning about trees, working with trees, making money from trees?
So I think the biggest thing is that if you want to be a professional, it's a very weird trade that you can go to school for 4 years or 8 years and get a master's in, you know, urban forestry or something like that. But when you get out into the field, you're competing with dudes that literally don't even have a high school diploma, and they have a pickup truck and a chainsaw. And your only hope for staying in business in that environment is, A, you got to be able to cut their prices, which you'll never be able to do, or B, you have to be able to show your clientele that you are worth the extra price that you're proposing you charge them. And you do that by being a professional, by learning everything you can about the trees in your area, by learning how to do more than just cut a tree and put it in the back of a truck. And that's the biggest mistake I think a lot of tree guys make, is they focus on the cutting parts of things. And the two guys in a pickup truck will always be able to beat you because they have no overhead. But if you can become a professional, you can help the client learn that you know why you should cut some branches and leave others, and how you should cut those branches, if they can believe you and you can execute that, then you can justify charging more and take yourself out of that pickup truck market. Not to cut on anyone that's working out of a pickup truck.
Right. No, no. You're the stereotypical.
Exactly.
I can follow you there. Just to clarify. No, I think, yeah, it's sort of like the yeoman farmer. You know what I mean? The mm-hmm. educated tradesman. That's out there, and like you said, a big part of that is educating the client. And I would imagine that 99% of people out there find that sometimes to be the most difficult thing. I mean, mm-hmm. consider however physical and however challenging it is to get up into a tree, it's just as challenging to sell that job and to educate the client and to get the price that you want in your market. And I think that, I think that's really awesome, man. Hey, listen, Nick, I'm not going to keep you all night. I'll probably be doing this again with you. I really appreciate you, sticking around for the call and talking with me, man. This was really fun.
Absolutely.
I really appreciate
it. I got a lot to say, TC. I'm a long-winded talker, so do it again.
This episode brought to you by TreeCare LA.
That's right. I hope I get a royalties for that.
Well, send the bill in the mail, bro.
All right. Thanks, TC.
Nick,
good luck.
Thank you so much. I'll talk to you soon, buddy.
All right, later.
Bye.